Today, sharing the Daf Yomi is the Gemara in Gittin, Daf Samach Zayin. We're beginning 13 lines down on Samach Zayin Amud Aleph with the words Gufo. Gufo always means that we're going to requote an entire section of the Gemara that we had previously, so it's a perfect way for us to start the Shir by requoting it. So Gufo, we learned in yesterday's Shir, Amar Shmuel, Amar Rebbe, that Shmuel said in the name of the great Rebbe Yehuda Nasi, Halacha like Rebbe Yossi, he paskin like Rebbe Yossi, Da Amar Mili Lo Mimsiran L'Sholiach. We had a whole discussion about this yesterday, so just do it b'kitzer now, that Rav Yossi's opinion was that a shaliach doesn't have the right to go and transfer that shlichus over to someone else, because words can't be transferred. So if you were asked to go and write the get, you can't go to a sofer and have that sofer go and write that get. You can't go and transfer somebody else to do that for you, because mili lo mimsron, the words themselves can't be transferred over. That was Shmuel's psak in the name of Yehuda Nasi. Now, this went against the psak of both Rav Meir and Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Chanina from the city of Ono had brought down a Kabbalah that Rabbi Akiva had said this. So, the son of Rabbi, Amalafon of Rabbi Shimon Berebi, Rabbi's son Rabbi Shimon, that's the gerusa that we have, on the side it brings down that this was Rabbi Shmuel Berebi Yossi, it was the son of Rabbi Yossi himself, went and asked Rabbi, why are you paskening like my father? He's a Das Yochid over here, as opposed to the majority opinion Rav Meir and Rabbi Akiva. So he asked him, either again, it was Rabbi's own son, or Rabbi Yossi's son, who asked Rabbi, Me'achash Rabbi Meir v'chanina ish ono chokin al Rabbi Yossi, since Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Chanina, who came from Ono, said over the name of Rabbi Akiva, that they disagree with the psak of Mili Lo Mimsrin of Rav Yossi, Cholkin al Rav Yossi, so Ma Ra Rebbe, why did Rav Yehuda Nasi paskin lo Maloch Rav Yossi? It's a Das Yochid versus the Das Rabbim, so we normally paskin like the Rabbim. So Rebbe told him, Amalo, either told his son, or he told Rav Yossi's son, Shesok b'ni Shesok, be quiet, because Lo Ra Isa es Rav Yossi, you don't know Rav Yossi. If it was telling him his son, so he was telling his son, you never learned by Rav Yossi, you don't know how great he was. And if he was telling Rav Yossi's son himself, Rabbi Shmuel Rav Yossi, and say, you don't appreciate how great your father was, Lo Ra Isa es Rav Yossi, Yomale Reiso, Nimuko Imo. If you had only seen Rav Yossi, so then you would have known how great he was, because he always was very careful. Nimuko Imo, Rashi tells us here, Pirusho Imo. He always had a good explanation for everything that he said. So he never would just say something and you could slug him up. If he said something, he was very careful with it. Losses Tam Lucholdbar. He would always give a reason for why he said what he did. Shoyamiyashiv is Dvar. He was very careful and made sure that everything he said could be supported. That's what Rashi says over here. Rashi in Eirvin Dafnunal, if you can see this in the Masoros Hashas, brings down that Nimuko Imo means Dovar Yoshar Kikav HaMishkolos. He would only say things that are straight like an arrow, like the bar of a weight, so that pole of a balance scale, so it was always very, very accurate and true. So in other words, I passed Pitlik Rav Yossi because Rav Yossi was so great. Now, it's interesting, because Rebbe elsewhere says that he only saw Rav Meir Me'achorev. He only saw Rav Meir from behind. And he said that's how he became the great Rebbe, because he had this chus to at least see a little bit of Rav Meir. So he obviously held Rav Meir in great esteem. And of course, who's comparable to the great Rabbi Akiva? But nevertheless, he was saying in this situation, I very much appreciate the words of Rav Yossi, because Nimuko Imo, therefore he paskin mili lo mimsiran l'sholiach. And we have a brisa that supports this as well, the Tanya. Isi ben Yehuda, Hayamone Shivchon Shol Chacham. And this brisa shows how great various Tanoim were, and he would go and list over here in this brisa, Isi ben Yehuda, he would list the praise of various Chacham. So Rav Meir, he said about Rav Meir, Chacham the Sofer. He referred to Rav Meir as Chacham the Sofer. Keep your hands on Rashi, and also we'll do some of the Tosafot over here, a little Tosafot, to describe exactly what Isi ben Yehuda said about all the different Tanoim that he's going to discuss. So Rav Meir, he's a Sofer and a Chacham. Rashi has the opinion, Kidamrina Mesech Sota, well, we're learning more in Sota, Amarti lo lavlor ani. He was like a scribe, so therefore he would be very accurate in always saying everything correctly. So, Chacham the Sofer. He then said about Rabbi Yehuda, Chacham l'chashayirtza. He was a Chacham when he wanted to be. That's a strange lashon. So Rashi explains, Kishaya rotze lios mosun umisyashi b'dvarav hayachacham. When he was able to go and sit and contemplate and really settle his thoughts, so then he was a great Chacham, even greater than Rav Meir. Toso says Chacham Shirtzer Yosef Midr Rav Meir, even greater than Rav Meir. Alternatively, he says Vidoma Rav Meir was very charif umakshi. He was extremely sharp and analytical and would always question everything. Whereas Yehuda, he was much more contemplative. So Masun umasik. Chiyai Gavna Amina b'sof Horius. And he said this is the way that Gemara explains it in Horius. Okay, that's Rav Yehuda. Next on the list of Tanoim that Issa ben Yehuda spoke about. Rabbi Tarfon. He was considered Gal Shel Egozim. What does this mean? A pile of nuts. So Rashi explains from the Avos of Nosin, so Ma Gal Shel Egozim, just like a pile of nuts, Adam no tell Achsman, if you take one of them out, the Haim Nikbatsos, the Noflos, Zu Al Zu, they're all going to fall down and come together in a pile. So Kulan Kach, Rabbi Tarfon, so too. Rabbi Tarfon was like that. Bought Talmud b'shalo davar. If a Talmud would ask him something, maybe lo raya mikra medrash mishnah halacha v'agada hakol yachad. So he would go and be able to answer the Talmud by bringing him not a raya just from one place, but he would bring him rayas from all different aspects of Torah, from the Chumash, from the Midrashim, from the Mishnah, from the Gemara, and from various agadatas. So he was considered like a gal shel egozim. Very nice description of a person who has a tremendous encyclopedic knowledge. Then he talks about Rabbi Shmuel. Rabbi Shmuel is Chanus Miyozenis. Rashi explains Chanus Miyozenis means Yena Muchan Botomit. She'enachin Vani Tzorich Lomar Lelochin Hamtinu Va'ovi Lochem. So a person goes into a store and he gets served right away. Whatever he needs, so it's there. You don't have to tell him to wait, I have to go get this, I have to order this. It's always there. He had everything. Kach nitzrach odom lilmod mipiv mezumelo betalmudo oruch bifiv. Anybody went to go and learn with Rabbi Shmuel, he knew everything. So he didn't have to worry that, okay, I'll have to go back to you tomorrow. He knew everything. He's like a chanos, a well-stocked store. That's what Rashi says. Tosus has a different understanding. He says, chanos miyuzenis, loshon mazon. You get whatever you need, whatever food you need, you get supported over there by Rabbi Shmuel. Or the Istigars, the others say that's mizuyanes, loshon zion. He was prepared, like armed. He always had everything that you might need. So that's Rabbi Shmuel's description by Isi ben Yehuda. Then we describe Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva is considered Otsar Bolum. What is that? So Rashi tells us, Kach Beforish Bavis Rabbi Nassan. Also it's described there, the Ovis Rabbi Nassan. Lama Rabbi Akiva Dome, to what was Rabbi Akiva comparable to? Lo Ani Shenotal Kupaso, an Ani would take his bag, the Yotzal Asada, to go and collect the Matnos Aniyim. So Matzo Sorim, if he found some barley, Kotsar, the Nassan Ba. If he found a little bit of barley, he would cut and put it in his bag. Matzo chit, he found a little wheat, awesome, but he would put it in his bag. V'chein pulim, and certain types of beans, v'chein hadashim, and lentils, uki shabal abeis. So after he came home, from a day of collecting all the different little things, birer kol min umin liatzmo, he then would separate them out and make sure they were all perfectly arranged. So kach Rabbi Akiva, kishaloman Rabbosov, Rabbi Akiva learned from a number of different rabbayim. So shama dover mikra me Rabbosov, v'yachrov halocha, v'yachrov medrash, v'yachrov agada. So he would collect all these different memories that he would learn from different rabbayim, and nosan libo lachzor aleim uligorson. And then afterwards he would go and think them over and collect them and analyze them, actually sudurim b'fiv, until they were very well arranged in his mind, in his mouth literally, below amar. And he didn't say elmod mikra liatzmo, I will first learn mikra, and then medrash, and then he would learn something else. And then finally, kishenase chacham gadol, when he became a huge talmud chacham, also call a Torah matbeos, matbeos. Then he put them into separate piles when they was fully digested and well understood. So then he was mesader the different medrashim, the sifra, the sifri, and levadin separately. Mishanon liatzmon l'talmidim. And then he would be able to teach them to his talmidim because he knew everything, and therefore he could now explain them each separately. And he would go and have the halachos liatzmon, the agados liatzmon, and he would then teach the talmidim separately each section or each category, but it was based upon the knowledge of everything. Then Rashi adds, "V'nir be'enai," a different interpretation. Otsur Balum means "sagur misgiros levadon mechitzos mechitzos." So he had compartmentalized all of his learning. Kivosh osin betevos gedolos, like having a big box. Litim chitim mikan, he would put the chitim inside the box in one section. Sorim mikan and the barley in another section. Adash mikan, lentils in another section. Kimo piv balum v'raglav mevuvalos bevchoros. So it would be compartmentalized, and he was able to go and take whatever he needed from each compartment. That was the great Rabbi Akiva. Then Issa ben Yehuda said about Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri that he was similar to Rabbi Akiva, albeit not as great as Rabbi Akiva. He was kupas horochlin. Rashi explains The farish hasam marocha zeh shabol ir. A peddler comes to a city. Shol menu afarisimon imcha omer hin. They would ask him, "Do you have a farisimon?" So he said, "Yeah, you have plaitin, another type of spice imach omer hin. Yeah, kinom you have cinnamon imach omer hin. Yeah." So kach nitzrach adam lishol dover b'mikra meshiva v'chem b'gmar v'chem b'medrash v'chem bi'agadah. So he knew everything also. He was very, very knowledgeable. He had everything when they would come to ask him. However, Rashi says, Ve'ein shevach zedom l'shol Rabbi Akiva. This is a lesser praise than for Rabbi Akiva. Shenotz en libo techila v'lomar akol mevuvo v'achar kisidra. So as opposed to Rabbi Yochanan Nuri, who seemed to have everything arranged from the start, he learned it that way. Rabbi Akiva learned everything and then had to arrange it himself. By the way, Tosfos brings down that Rashi was goris the word balum with a mem. But others have the gears over here, balus with a samach. And he brings down from the Bereishis Rabbah, Moshe Lebel Shiyotzo Sof, belusim, the chasumim, umurovim. So they were certain types of, again, compartmentalizations that the person would have in a very well-arranged way. Okay. Then we have Isa ben Yehuda telling us about Rebbe Elazar and Azariah. So Kupa Shel Besamim. He was like an individual who had Besamim, as opposed to a peddler, which is even a high praise, he has more. So Kubashal Besamim, so Rashi says, Dome Lukubas Arochlin, it's similar to the professional spice person, as opposed to we had the individual spice person, Elosha Rochel, Mitoshim Nosul Lakach, Marbe Minim Yoser. So the professional has many more things than the individual does. So he would go and arrange everything so separately, so he would be able to go and give to each individual what they needed. Okay, then we have Mishnas Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov Kavinoki. So Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov did not say a lot of things. He had a small kav, a small amount of things that are said over his name. However, whatever he had was very, very noki. So Rashi says, Loli made harbe gishar chaver. He wasn't as much of a rebbe, public rebbe, in teaching people like the other tanoim that were mentioned here. However, Elamash Omer Beis Medrash, what he did say in the Beis Medrash was very noki, was very clean. Shalacha we always possibly live in Yaakov. He didn't always pipe in and tell us his opinion, but whenever he did, boy oh boy, he took it to the bank because he was very, very careful with what he said. He said a few things only, but what he said, he was extremely careful. Then we get to the point of bringing in this brisa. Isa ben Yehuda brings down Rav Yossi Nimuko Imo, which we explained previously. He is extremely careful with saying what he said. Also, we paskin like him. That's why Rebbe had said, I paskin like Rebbe Yossi. And finally, we have Rebbe Shimon. He's described as tochein harbe. He would grind up a lot, but he only put out a little. Now, what does this mean? So, Tana. So, we explain this in the following brisa. Mishakach kima. He only forgot very, very little. As Rashi says, mitamudo. He didn't ever really forget much of his learning. And that which he did forget, umashimotzi, the little bit that he did forget, in umotzi el subin. He would only forget the subin, which is like the brand. So, Rashi explains, mashishokach mitamudo, lo shokach el adorm shalom niru shaloch kimosum. The things that he did forget were things that weren't lahalocha. So, those he didn't concentrate on as much, and those he sometimes would forget, but anything that was lahalacha, he remembered. And that's why he told his Tamidim, Chinam Rishim Tamidim, Banai, my children, my Tamidim, Shinu, learn Midosai, from my learning, learn from my Midos over here. Rashi says, Limdu Torasi, learn my Torah, because Shemidosai, my Torah, is Trumos, Mitrumos, Midos, so Shemidosai Akiva. He was a star pupil, one of the five major Tamidim of Rabbi Akiva. And he said, I took what Rabbi Akiva taught, which was already extremely well compartmentalized, as we said, and extremely well organized, and I took the best of the best from that. So I took the truma, so to say, from his already taken truma, and therefore, learn this derech, it will be an extremely good derech to learn. So he told the Tamidim, go and follow this, because it's extremely well digested, so to say, Torah. Okay. Gufa, now we go back to the discussion we had previously, in yesterday's shir. Another statement from yesterday's shir. We learned, Omar l'shnayim, if the husband says to two people, Imru l'sofer, go and tell the sofer. Here he's specifically instructing him. It's not mili lo mimsron or mili mimsron. Here he's specifically telling them, go and tell the sofer, v'yichtov, to write the get, and you two, v'lefloni, uploni, v'yichasmu. But you two go and sign. These two people should go and sign the get. So tell the sofer to go and write the text of the get, but the two people that I'm assigning, they should be the ones to go and sign the get. So that, we had a discussion on, is that good or not? So Amar Huna, Amar Rav, kosher, this is good, because technically here, even if you say mili lo mimsirin, here you would say that this was in specific instruction to go and do this, so then it is allowed. However, v'lo sayos is os b'yisrael, but as we pointed out yesterday, this could lead to takala, so don't do this. Well, it technically would be kosher, don't allow this, because it could lead to a takala, which we said, the person might then go and have somebody tell the sofer go write a get when he really wasn't instructed to do so, or that it might be a problem over here that the sofer is going to sign it, and then one of the two witnesses will say, well, we only need one additional witness, and only one of the two witnesses will sign it, and you'll have two witnesses on it, but they weren't the ones that were instructed by the husband. He was makbid. He wanted these two witnesses, and therefore it's actually not a kosher get, and the woman will accept the get. Everybody will think it's a kosher get, and she'll get married, and the second marriage will have to be nullified because she's still a nacious ish, and the children from that marriage would become mamzer chas v'shal. In any event, Amalei Ula l'Rav Nachman. Ula said to Rav Nachman, Ula said to Rav Nachman, Ula. It was the other way around, that Rav Nachman said to Ula, Me'achad Kasha, if the bottom line is that it's perfectly valid, as Rav Huna Amar Rav is saying, so then why don't we allow it? Amai lo se'os is also Yisrael. Now, I've already given the answer to this, but he was asking the question, why don't we allow this to be done if it's technically good? So Amalei, Kaishina Shema Tiskar Edim. So one of the reasons is because we're afraid that the wife, she wants to get a divorce, but she can't authorize a divorce. Only the husband can authorize a divorce. So she'll go and hire some people to go tell a sofer, listen, her husband said that you should write a get for her. So the sofer will think that they're telling the truth, and he'll write the get, and they'll sign it. And then you have a fraudulent divorce, and the husband will say, I never divorced her. And they'll say, no, here, this was written by so-and-so. And he says, yes, it was written by me, and this witness was signed to it, and it could lead to a tremendous takala that the woman will make up her own get, when of course she can't do that. Now, the more question says, really, are we concerned that witnesses will do this? That witnesses will go and falsify a document? Latanya, we learned elsewhere in the Braisa, Edim chasum, achasum astei mekach. If you have witnesses that are signed on a document saying that Reuven sold his field to Shimon, or Bialket Isha on a document that's saying that Reuven divorced his wife Chana, lo chashu chachamil darazet. We never concern ourselves. Of course, we check out to see that it's authentic, but once we prove that it's authentic, that those are the two witnesses' signatures, so we never think that maybe they made up the whole document. We don't concern ourselves with that. So how can we concern ourselves over here that we're concerned? Shchayshin Hashem HaTiskor Edim. Should hire witnesses to go and tell the sofer to please go and write this get and tell these two people that the husband said to go and sign on it. So how come we're concerned in this situation over here, but we're not concerned in general? So the word says, because my siluavdi, because we are not concerned that the witnesses will actually do something that is making up a document. They'll sign on a document, but they'll never make up a document. That we're not concerned. But Dibura Karmi, but here, with his saying that she would hire two witnesses, just go tell the sofer, tell the witnesses to go do something, that we already have to be concerned about. Chayshinon, Shema Tiskar Edim. That's the difference between an actual Maisa and just words. So that's why Rav Yehuda Amar Rav said, Kosher, the Lo Siyos is supposed to be sold. It technically is good, but don't do it, because it could lead to a terrible takol. Mark continues and says, Amal Shnayim, if a husband were to say to the two people, Imru the sofer, v'yichtov, v'yatem chasumu, if we had this yesterday, and I already alluded to this now, if the husband were to say to two people, listen, go tell this sofer to go write up the get, so therefore you don't have the problem of mili lomimsu, and according to the opinion that says that even Rabbi Yossi would argue that and allow that if they were specifically told, go and do this, go and tell so-and-so you're allowed to do this, but in this situation, they're going to tell the sofer to go and write up the get, but they would sign it, not the sofer. So Chizdamar Koshav Lo Siyasa. We technically this would be allowed, but we don't allow this to be done because of the concern that the sofer will go and sign on it, as we pointed out yesterday, and then one of the two witnesses will say it's not necessary for me to sign. You already have one witness, and the bottom line is it's not a kosher get because they weren't authorized to have the sofer sign it. They were authorized to do this, and therefore you only have one signature that's authorized on the get. Husband was mocked, but he didn't want everybody to know he didn't know how to write a get, and therefore it's not a kosher get, and the takala will come about. The woman will get divorced and marry somebody else based upon this totally not kosher get. So Rav Chisda said it technically is good, but we don't do this with this concern. Rabbi Baruch Chana, Omar, no, kosher v'tziyasa, we're not worried about that. It's perfectly kosher to do this because in this situation, mili mimsurim, and it's perfectly acceptable. So Rabbi Baruch Chana argues and says it's good, whereas Rav Chisda says it's not good. Next pair of Amarayim, Rav Nachman Amar Kosher Lo Siyasa. Rav Nachman said, just like Rav Chisda, technically it's good, but we shouldn't do such things. And Rav Sheis is Amar Kosher Siyasa. Rav Sheis said, no, perfectly acceptable to do this, even after the fact. Then we have a third pair. Rabba Amar Kosher Lo Siyasa. Rav Yosef Amar Kosher Siyasa. The gear that we have first is that Rabba was the one that said that it's technically acceptable to do this, but don't do this because of the concern that we expressed. And Rav Yosef said, no, we're not even concerned about that, and it technically is okay to do this. Now, that's the first girsa that we have, that it's Rabba saying, lo siyasa, and so Yossi says, kosher siyasa, we turn to some of Zayin on the days, but then, the ikor de apichlu, as Rashi says, some flipped around the shitas, that Rabba and Rav Yosef, the way that we had it, it's the exact opposite, that Rabba is the one that said, in fact, kosher visiyasa, and it was Rav Yosef was the one that said, kosher velo siyasa, the opposite. So again, we have three generations of Amarayim over here that had the same machlokas. Is it allowed kosher v'siyasa, or is it kosher? Technically, it's good, but don't do this because of the takala concerns. Then we go and quote from the Mishnah. The Mishnah said, "Amar li asara kisu get." If a man, the husband said to 10 people, go and write a get. So the Gemara is now going to discuss that further. The Gemara starts off according to Braisa. Tana Rabbanon, we learn in the following Braisa, "Amar li asara," if a man told 10 people, "Kisu get, go and write this get for my wife, usnu li ishti, and go and give the get to my wife." Now he told it to 10 people. So what do you do in this situation? You don't have all 10 write it, obviously, but echad kosev aide kulam, one person writes it on behalf of all of the other 9 people that were there. But they don't have to know about it. One of them wrote it on behalf of all the others, because he just said to these 10 people, go write a get for my wife. So one of them wrote it, and they have people signing on it, and he's doing it on behalf of the other 10 people. Lav dafka, all 10 have to do it. Okay. Echad kosev aide kulam. However, if the husband said, kulchem kisovu, if he told them all 10, I want all 10 of you, he specifically said, kulchem, so then, echad kosev b'maimad kulam, then one person writes it. You don't have to have all 10 write it, obviously, but one person writes it, but in the presence of all the other people, because all 10 of them have to be there at the time of the writing of the get. That was the husband's instructions. He wanted to do this with Fahesia. Some of the Farshim explained he wanted to publicly make sure that everybody's aware that he's divorcing his wife. He wanted to embarrass her. He wants it to be public knowledge. And in this situation, all 10 of them must be there at the time that the get is written. And then he said, holichu get lishti. If he told this group of 10 people, without mentioning all of you have to do this, he just said, and bring the get to my wife, holichu get li ishti. So then, echad molech, how do they call them? One brings it on behalf of all the others, but lav dafka, they all have to go and come. But if he said, kulchem holichu, if he used the lashon, all of you have to go and bring the get, so then, echad molech, l'maim kulam, that one person can carry it, they don't have to carry it, but it has to be in the presence of all of the 10 people. Okay, based on that, the Gemara now asks the question, Ba'iluhu, mona osan mahu, if they were counted individually. Rashi says on top line of Rashi, mona mahu, im lo amar kuchem, he didn't use the lashon of all of you that we just explained. If you use all of them, then all of them have to be involved. He says here, however, abo menon, aleph, beis, gimel, dal, he says, you know, Ruvein, Shimon, Levi, Yehuda, and he tells them, yomar kisu ger li ishti, mahu. So what's the halacha in this situation? Rashi brings the two sides of the coin. So he says, do we say, mahu, mi demeninu lekulu, since he did mention all of the people over there, albeit by name, hanach menuyin ichavein, all of them are intended over here, odilma, maybe not, kivin delo amalem kucham, he didn't say all of them, so hamenuyin kitsu, so those he mentioned should go and write it, lo ba'ina kulu, but you don't need necessarily all of them. So again, this lashon of mona osan, he counted them, he mentioned them, so is that like he just had 10 people there, and he said, go and write it, and therefore they don't all have to do it, only one can do it on all of their behalf, or no, is it like kulchem, and that all of them have to be involved in it, one person can write it, but they all have to be there. If one person is giving it, they all have to be there at the time of the giving. That's the question. Yes, so we have a machlokis. Rav Huna amar mona eino kulchem. Mana is not like kuchem, it's just like saying in front of all 10 of them, El kisvu, go and write again. So therefore, they don't all have to be there, one can write it. On the other hand, Rav Yochanan, Mishum, Rav Elazar, the min Roma Amar, Rav Yochanan said of the name of Rav Elazar who came from Rome, and he said, Mana hare kuchem, the lashon of mana is the exact same as if said kuchem. So the Gemara says, I'm a rapapa of a little pligi, but they're not actually arguing over here. It depends. Ha demona kulu, ha demona miksasayu. Did he count every single person there? There were 10 people there, and he said, Ruvein, Shimon, Levi, Huda, Don, Naphtali, Gad, Asher, Yisach, and Zvul. So did he in fact go and mention all 10 of them? So then if he mentioned all 10 of them, so then it's like he said kulu. But if he only mentioned part of them, he only said Ruvein, Shimon, Levi, Yehuda, but he didn't mention the others. So then only those people were signed, but lafadavka, that all of them have to be there. One can do it on behalf of the ones that he mentioned. So, therefore, Rav Papa says it's not a machlokis. And the Gemara explains this further. Amrei lo lahai gisa, v'amrei lo lahai gisa. There's two ways to possibly explain this. And if you look in Rashi, he explains both sides. So, amrei lo lahai gisa. The first Rashi with this Dibra Masa was on the third line from the top, in the wider lines. So, mona kulu. So, if he counted all of them, akulu kopit. Then he wanted all 10 of them. That he mentioned their names, they should be there. Mona miksasayu, but if he only mentioned some of them, then lo kopit. He doesn't specifically even want those four that he mentioned. Just one of them, those four has to write it. Ela minuyin, hashniyim mehani minuyin chasmu lemute hashar, and he only wanted those four, and any one of those four to do it, as opposed to the others shalonim that he didn't include. And not even to all those that he counted she chasmu kulam. Only kiva the lomon lekulu huvra shetara chadavru alav v'chada lo midaito v'rishona afila minuyin in tzichum lachtom ela mitzosom. And in, according to this, then even the ones that were counted don't have to go and all be present. Only one of them does it on behalf of all the others, but they don't have to be there. That's one way of looking at it. Rabbi Lahagi said the next Dibur Maskil Rashi, Mono Mikzoson. So if he counted part of them, so it's the exact opposite. Goli Daite Da Hani Kopit, that he wants all four of those to be there. It's Yichan Kul and Hamanuyim Lachtom. Then all of them have to be there, so that one person does it in the presence of the other three that were mentioned, because he specifically mentioned them. But according to this version, Monakulan, if he mentioned all of them, he counted out all 10, Reuven, Shem, Levi, etc. So keeping the law of Markucha, but he didn't use the law of Kuchem. So then he's just telling them, you guys do it. Lo hikbid eloma bifnei minyan zeh. Lo yichas bukulam. But he just wanted those 10 people, one of them, to go do it. But lav dafka, they all have to be there. Okay, that's the two ways of looking at it. Now the Gemara continues and says, asking Rav Yehuda, Begita de Kochem, Rav Yehuda made a takana, this is the Amora Rav Yehuda, he made a takana when you're writing a get, the husband said, Kochem, so you should write the get in the following way. You should write it down to mean, Kisovu, O Kochem, O Kol Chad V'Chad Minchon. He said, specifically write it down, that either all of you should go and do it, or you should add to the get, or any one of you. And this way, there won't be a potential for a takola. Because even though he said the lashon of kulchem, if you write in the get, this is what was intended. All of you can do it, or any one of you can do it. Or chasomu, o kulchon, o kol treminchon. Either all of you can sign it, or only two of you can sign it. So this way, there's no takola potential. That's what review to set up. Furthermore, o vilu, o kulchen, oh, kol chad v'chad minchon. Either all of you can deliver it, or any one of you can go and deliver it. So you don't have any doubt. This way, it's clear. According to Rav Yehuda, you have the options all available, and therefore it can't possibly get, won't ruin the get in case it's not done properly. Rava doesn't like this. I'm a Rava. Zimnim degoyz leila dibure. You know what? He's not going to necessarily say it all out clearly. And therefore, when you're going to write it down, you're going to have a problem. He's going to say, v'omar kulchon, but he's going to say, all of you, v'lo amar kol chad minchon, but it doesn't then say, or any one of you. But that's what he intended, and therefore, it actually is a kosher get, if not all of them do it. But here, they're going to say, no, it's not a kosher get. Falsi liv sula, and you end up saying that the get is not a valid get, when it really is a valid get, because he had said, you don't all have to do it, any one of you can do it, and that would be fine. So in order to make it even clearer, Rava said as follows, Elama Rava, what you should write in the get is kesovu, kol chad minchon, or chasomu kol trei minchon, or ovilu kol chad minchon. Write it down clearly that I'm not asking for all 10 of you to do this. Any one of the 10 can go and write it. Any one of the 10 can be the signatories on it. You need two signatories, obviously. And any one of you 10 can go and deliver it. And this way, there'll be no potential takala, and that's the best suggestion that Rava said. Hadron lecha omer, hadron lecha omer, hadron lecha omer. And now we turn to the seventh parak. At least remember we said, according to the Bavli that we have in front of us, and the same as the Yerushalmi, that the next parak, Misha Achazu, is the seventh parak. Again, Rashi, we'll see over here, does hold that it is the out of order, but we'll follow the order that our Talmud Bavlis has. So we begin the seventh parak. Misha Achazu Kordiakus. Kordiakus, Rashi tells us, was the name of a Shida, a certain female demon. Hasholetes, that had purview, had Shlita, she ruled over those people that drank too much wine. Kishishosu Yayin Harbe Migito, if they drank a lot of fresh wine, so they got drunk. And this was the Shida, known as Kordiakus, that would go and cause them to be basically not in bardas situation, not to have control of themselves. So therefore, if somebody did have this temporary lack of das, misha achazo Kordiakus, so then if he had said, v'omar kisu get liishti lo maklum, he's not a bardas at that point in time. He's essentially drunk. He's essentially demented in some way, and therefore his saying to Shaliach, go write a get for my wife, has zero value whatsoever. As Rashi says, She'ein datum yushevis. The guy's not of a sound mind, and therefore, anything that he does, he's not a bar hochi, he doesn't have das, and therefore, it doesn't count for anything. What happens if Omar kisu get li ishti, if now this is a totally separate situation, a healthy person went and told Shaliach, Amar kisu get li ishti. He told somebody, go and write a get for my wife. And then, subsequently, v'achazo kordiyakas, he then got this drunken status, and he's now no longer a bar hachi at this moment in time. And while he's in this inebriated state, or in this demented state, v'chazo v'yomar lo tich levedu. He goes and tells the shliach, I retracted what I said. So again, here too, he's not a bar das, so ain't dvar v'acharonim klom. So what he's saying now has no value, and therefore the original authorization still is in effect. And since he was a bar das at that time, so his shaliach can go and write a get and go and deliver it under all the proper halachic discussions that we've had previously. What happens if a person nebuch nishtatek? So Rashi says, lav shachazo kordiyakas. We're not any longer talking about this kordiyakas situation, koi. That's not what we're talking about. Elo adam shenasa ilim machmas choli. A person became sick. He became a mute, unable to talk. But he is a bardas, so we just have to figure out what he's saying. The Amru lo, and the people said to him, they knew he was unhappy with his wife, and the people said to him, Nichtov get li ishtecha, would you like us to write a get for your wife? So, v'hirkin b'roshu, so he nods his head, yes, I want you to write the get for my wife. So, how do we know if that's really what his intention is? Is he a bardas or not? So, we check him out, bolkin oso. You go and check him out. As Rashi says, b'dvar machalim. With other things, and you see how he responds. If he responds properly, shloshapam, you do three times as a test. Im amar alav lav, if he appropriately nods his head, no. He shakes his head, no, three times appropriately. So they ask him, you know, is today January 5th? And he nods his head, no, it's not. He shakes his head, no, it's not January 5th. It's not January 5th. And then he asks him two other questions. So you can clearly see that when he nods his head, no, he shakes his head, no, he understands you, and he clearly, a no is a no. And valhenein, and you ask him then, oh, is today Chav Zayin Tammuz, and he says yes, it is Chav Zayin Tammuz. He nods and said yes, and you ask him the appropriate things in that situation. When he says yes, so then you can check him out. Al Hain Hain, his no is a no, and his yes is a yes. So then he's a bardas, and you can go and on his behalf, that's an authorization when he nods and says yes to go and write the get for his wife and deliver it, etc., according to the halachas we discussed. Okay, Gemara starts off and says, "My kordiyakus." What is this condition known as kordiyakus? So Amar Shmuel tells us, "The nachse." Rashi says, "The nachse is a lashon of noshcho, of being bitten, so to say, that you bite something." Kiloma sheshalso imenu. He drank from this chamra charita, from this very fresh wine, the ma'atzarta that was just pressed. In other words, this type of a wine has maybe additional capabilities over here to make somebody lose their sense, to not be a bardas, whether it inebriates you or does something else, I don't know. In any event, why didn't the Gemara say that? Why did it give us this kordiyakos? The list name, Mishin Shocho Yayin Chodesh. So just say, somebody who's inebriated, somebody who's drank a lot of fresh wine, so he's not a bardas. Why did it tell us the kordiyakos? So the Gemara says, Hakamashwan, it often, as the Gemara does, often tells us one thing, and then it tells us another thing by the same time. The Harucha kordiyakos Shema. That this condition is seen over, is held in sway by this shade, this female shade, the Shida, known as kordiyakos. Google says, why do we care about that? Lamay nafkamina, why do we have to know that? What's the chiddush over here that you're telling us? Instead of saying that he drank fresh wine, he was achazo kordiyakos. What's the chiddush over here? So Google says, lekameya. This is for medicinal purposes, for benefits. If somebody's going to write a kameya, they used to have experts that knew how to write a kameya, an amulet, that would be able to ward off the evil efforts of this female shade, and therefore, that if you needed to know her name in order to write the kameya. So that's why the Mishnah is telling us the name. Okay, Maya Sute, what is the normal remedy for healing such a condition? So the Gemara tells us, go and eat Bisra Sumka. Rashi says Sumka normally means red. It means here Kochush, means very, very not fatty meat, very lean meat. Agumri, that is barbecued on coals. The Chamra Morka, and go and have some wine that is Morka. Rashi says Mazug Bimayim Harbe, that is highly diluted. So it's very, very diluted wine, and have this with this very lean barbecued meat, and that will cure you from this this situation called achazo kordiyakos. Okay. Amar Abaye, Abaye says, Amar Liyeh, Abaye was an orphan, and his father died shortly after conception. His mother died at childbirth, and he was raised by this governess who we refer to throughout the Gemara as his mother. It wasn't really his mother. Amar Liyeh, but she taught him quite many things, as the Gemara teaches us in many places, and she told him various cures for various conditions. L'shimsha bas yuma, if you have some sort of a dehydration, Rashi says that this shimsha bas yuma is some sort of holy shachazo machmas chom bobayom, some sort of a heat stroke, or maybe some sort of a dehydration. So therefore, the treatment for this, the shimsha bas yuma, is kuzo demaya, have a cup of water and drink it, Rashi says, yishta. So if you're dehydrated, you have heat stroke, so then go and drink water. Yeah, that's correct medically as well. Again, we're never allowed to paskin medicine from the Gemara because we don't understand it, but here this happens to be correct. Bas treyome, if a person has this dehydration or this heat stroke for 2 days, so then sikure. Rashi says sikure means, hey, causes dam to carry. Go and draw blood. Go and do a phlebotomy. In those days, they used to feel that many medical conditions could be cured by phlebotomy. Today, we know that that's really not true. There are only very rare conditions for which phlebotomy is indicated to withdraw some blood. There are actually some conditions, but very, very few. And that was the treatment that his governess, his aim, Abaye's guardian, taught him to treat this heat stroke for 2 days. Bastosiyome, if you had it for 3 days, so then take bisra sumka, take again this very lean type of a meat and barbecue it, agurmi, put it on coals, the chamamarka, and again take this diluted wine, and that will heat that. L'shim shatik, the Rashi says, this miyomim rabim, if you have this condition for a while, so leise tarnagota uchmisi, go and bring a black, uchmisi is black, tarnagola, black chicken, and take this chicken, v'lekara shesidev, and cut it open, length and width, and v'legalche limtsiyosa dereshe, Rashi says, you go and shave off the hair of the sick person in the middle, and v'losve ilabe, and go put this cut up chicken on top of the patient's head, and the nanche ilabe, place it upon him, ad de misrach, until you have a sircha. Sircha is like an adhesion, until it sticks to him. So the linchos, and then this person should go down, and the lekum v'maya, and go and stay in the water, all the way up, ad savare, until it goes up to his neck, and until he feels, ad decholish omo ilabi, until he feels very, very tired, until he almost faints. And then, v'leimud, Rashi tells us, v'leimud means to go swimming, yishot, he should go swimming, ulesalik, and then leave the water, v'leisiv, and then sit down. And mitzashem, that should give him a refuah shlema. No, if that doesn't work, v'lo, if that either doesn't work, or he's unable to go and do it, he doesn't have a bathing area near him, so then the alternative is lechol karsi, go and eat leeks, that will somehow be of medicinal benefit, and as well, v'linchos, go into the water, v'lekum b'maya, atzavari up until your neck, adecholish omilavi, again, until he feels very tired or very faint, and then go swimming, v'leimot, ulesalik, and then leave the water, v'leisiv, and go and sit down, and mitzashem, that will cure you. Fine. Then the Gemara tells us another medical treatment, l'shimsha, if a person has 3 days of this sunstroke or heat stroke, bisra sumka agurmi v'chama marka. We had said that you should go and have this lean meat that's barbecued and have some diluted wine. As opposed to, that's for this heat stroke. Latalga, if a person has a sensation of being very, very cold, talga is shelig. The tuff and the shin are interchangeable. So talga is a word that we use for a person who's very cold. So if he has cholish ochas machmas tzina, Rashi says he has some sort of sickness, it's because of cold. So then the exact opposite type of meat should be used and the exact opposite type of wine. Take bisra shmeina, take very fatty meat, and go and barbecue it, agurmi, put it on coals, and then take v'char mochia, take totally undiluted wine. Their wine comes in a very concentrated form, and it had to be diluted in the 2-to-1 ratio of water to wine, and sometimes 3-to-1. In any event, here, go take the totally undiluted wine and drink that, and that will be the cure for this illness that's brought about by cold. Now, we have a Maaseh Shehoya. Rav Amram Chasida was a great Talmud Chacham, and he used to go and be basically like the posek for the Reish Galusa. The Reish Galusa was at times a great Talmud Chacham, was at times a great Jewish institution in a positive way, and at other times it was a corrupt local government. So it depended on the period of time, and depended on who the Reish Galusa was. In any event, during the time that Rav Amram Chasida was in charge of the spirituality of the Reish Galusa, so he would go and paskin more in a machmir dick way that the servants of the Reish Galusa were not happy with. So, kihabi mitzairin lay bei Reish Galusa. So they gave him a hard time. They didn't like the fact that he was so machmir. So what did they do? Havu miganu lay atalga. So literally it means that they made him go sleep outside in the snow. Alternatively, the Ben Yoyada in his commentary called Ben Yoyahu, in his Sefer Ben Yoyada, he has two parts to it. So in the Ben Yoyahu part, he says they just opened up the windows on a cold night, so he was freezing. So he got sick, he got a cold. So Lamachar Amulei, they said to him, Nu, my nichale lamar de laisule, do we want to treat you and cure you? So what should we do? Now, the proper treatment we just said for the cold was to go bring very fatty meat with undiluted wine. So he said to himself, Amar, Hanei, these bad people over here from the Reish Galusa's office, call Daminalu, anything that I tell them, Meipachafi, he'll do the exact opposite. So Amalu, so he was smart, he said to them, Bisra Sumka, go give me very lean meat, knowing that they would then bring him very fatty meat. And yeah, you barbecue it, gourmet, and bring me very, very diluted wine, b'char mamarka, because he knew that they would bring him then very undiluted wine. And that's exactly what happened. Aisulei inu, so these bad servants of the Resh Gelusa brought to him bisushmein, and this very fatty meat that was barbecued, gourmet, on the coals, v'char rechaya, and they brought him undiluted wine. And this way, he was able to go get better. But this remedy has side effects with it. The only one, we say, Kodesh Baruch Hu is the rofei cholim, he's the only one that his cures don't have side effects to them. All of our cures, as doctors, so they always have side effects. So in fact, Rav Amram Chassida over here didn't feel so well, even after he had the right treatment for this this cold, this illness that was brought upon by the cold, so he needed to be treated further. So Shoma Yalta, who was the wife of Rav Nachman, and Rashi tells us that Rav Nachman was a very, very important figure in the Reish Galusa's office. He had a very high position, and she therefore was also held in great esteem. So therefore, she heard about what they did to Rav Amram Chassida, so she brought him into a bathhouse, and she arranged for him to have over there b'maya, to stand in the water, the bay masusa, in these hot bath waters, and that would make him feel better. And she had him stay there ad mahafchi maya the bay masusa, until the waters of this bathhouse turned v'havudama, they almost turned red. Rashi explains that in this situation, so to say, the perspiration, the sweat that came out of him was like a reddish color, and it turned the water red because of the very fatty meat that he had and the undiluted wine. So somehow this caused the waters, his perspiration, to be a reddish hue, and it caused the waters to turn red. And the koi bisre pshite pshite, and his flesh had the horos agulos, as she says. So basically, some sort of a swelling, some sort of a lesion from all of this treatment and from the illness that he had. Okay, so he had some sort of a skin reaction. Fine. Rav Yosef, Yasek Berechaya. Other treatments that we have over here for this illness that's brought upon by the cold is to sweat, to perspire, as we see that Yalta brought him into the bathhouse to go schwitz. So Rav Yosef, Yasek Berechaya, he would go work up a sweat by working in a mill and grinding the grain. That was a very heavy work, and he schwitzed, and that helped cure him from this illness brought about by cold. Similarly, Rav Sheshes, Yasek Bichshure. So Rav Sheshes, he would go and lift beams. Kshure or beams, Rashi says, Loses Koros Umasos. He would carry very heavy burdens, and this way he would also schwitz. It's interesting. Both Rav Yosef and Rav Sheshes are blind, and yet we see that even a blind person, the exercise is good for them for this illness. And Omar, Rav Sheshes would say, look how great work is. Gedola melocha shemelcha memes es bi'olah. Not only do you benefit from the work that you did, he was carrying these beams, so they moved them from place one to place two. And Rav Yosef, he would grind the mill, so now he had flour, so not only is the work greater that it benefits you, but it also warms you up, and therefore it's a healing and curative type of a labor, so it has double benefit. Okay, another Maisa Shoya. The Reish Galusa said to Rav Sheshes, how come you never eat by me? My time alosoid mar gabon. Why don't you come to eat me? It'd be a great covet if the great Rav Sheshes would come to eat to me. So Malay Rav Sheshes says to him, because I don't trust the kashas. Galo malu abde, because your servants that serve you aren't righteous people. They're bad guys, as we've already seen. Sometimes the servants of the Reish Galusa were bad. And the chashid, they are Avim and Achai. I don't think they're going to serve me kosher food. I'm afraid they're going to go and cut off a leg from an animal, Avim and Achai, which is also even for Goyim, and certainly for Yin, and they're going to feed it to me. So the Reish Galusa said to him, Amalei, mi yema? Who says that they do such things? So Rav Sheshes tells him, Amalei, I will show you. Hashta v'chavin aloch. I will show you. Again, it's a play on the words. Rav Sheshes was blind. He said, you don't see what I see. I'm blind, and you don't see what's right in front of your eyes. And yet I'm aware of it. So Amalei, hashta v'chavin aloch. I will show you. So Amalei l'shamei. So Rav Sheshes told his shamish, his attendant, Zeal, go, Ginov, go and steal. Now this was done with the permission of the Reish Galusa, who owned it also. It's not really stealing, and therefore it's allowed. Go and bring me one of the limbs of the, let's say, the cow that they were shechting for the big party that they're making, that they wanted Rav Sheshes to come to. So go bring me one of the legs of the cow. Fine. So isolate, and the Rav Sheshes' shamish went and brought him the leg of the cow. So Amalahu, Rav Sheshes then says to the Reish Galusa servants, Admu li hadme dechevosa. Go and put out for me, Rashi says, Sidru lefana, I go arrange in front of me, Nisachei ha-behema linisachel. Show me all the parts of the behema. I want to make sure that you have a kosher behema over here. I want to make sure that there's nothing wrong with this behema. Lay it out to me. Show me all the parts of the behema that was shechted. No, he took one of the legs. His servant took one of the legs. So I say to Los Kari, so they only brought out the animal with all the different parts, but only with three legs. Osivu Kameh, they showed it to him. So Amalu, Rav Sheshes said to them, Ha, Bala Shul Shul, go, my boy, this is a three-legged animal, and therefore it's not kosher. So
Pasuk, what they went and did was they went and cut off Aisuchad Me'alma. They cut off a leg from an Aver Minachai and Osivu Kabeh, and they brought it to him. Now, Rav Sheshes then says, Amalei L'Shameh, Rav Sheshes tells to Hashamesh, no, take it out of your pocket, the other leg. Osvei Name Lahach Didoch. Take that leg and bring it over to them and say, listen, Osvei, when he put it there, Amalei, Rav Sheshes tells them, and this is Mestam in front of the Reish Lusa, so he shows them that they're Choshesh over here for Eved Menachai, because they did this with no problem. Hi, Bas Chomesh, was this a five-legged animal? In other words, you guys did some shenanigans over here, and therefore that's why Rav Sheshes told the Reish Lusa, I don't trust your servants that they're going to feed me Eved Menachai. Amalei, so the Reish Lusha said to Rav Sheshes, okay, I hear you. Ihachi, if you're concerned about this, le'abdu kamei shamei demar v'lecho. Some aren't curse the word shamei. In any event, go and have your guy be the mashkech tmidi. Have your shamish over here, he's a Talmud Chacham, have him go and be the mashkech tmidi and watch all the food to make sure that it's prepared properly. So Amalei l'chai, so Rav Sheshes says, fine, that's a good idea. Krevu taku kamayo. So they brought a table in front of the all the guests and in front of Rav Sheshes and the Reish Galusa and Vaisu kamei bisra. And they brought to them the food. They brought to Rav Sheshes and the Reish Galusa the food that had been prepared under the supervision of the shamish of Rav Sheshes, and if it was kosher. However, these servants were terrible people. Vosivu kamei ristina dechanka. Chamsa. And they brought to him a famous piece of meat. The Gemara in Shabbos on Daf Chavav tells us there was a famous Maisa that one time a daughter-in-law tried to go and kill her mother-in-law by serving her this type of a meat that has like a small bone in it that isn't always recognizable and you choke on it. So they served Rav Sheshes this type of a meat that he had a high likelihood of choking on. That's a simple teretz over here. That goes and chokes off a person, the famous meat that chokes a mother-in-law. There's always the joke that the daughter-in-law doesn't like the mother-in-law. See, she would serve a meat that would go, Rachmon was not a killer. Others say, no, that word chamsa is a lotion of seeing. So this is a type of meat that will go and kill somebody who can't see it. In other words, if you don't see the bone, chas v'shalom, you'll swallow it and you can choke on it. In any event, Rav Sheshes outsmarted them. Gashashay, he touched the portion of food that they gave him, v'shakle karcha v'sudre, and he took away the piece that had this bone inside of it that could have choked him, and he put it aside in his kerchief. Now, the Reish Galusa servants saw this, and they wanted to know what in the world was he doing. So lebasar, the ochel, after the rest of the food had been eaten, Amrilei, they made a public announcement, we turned to Samach Chesavad Aleph, and they told Rav Sheshes as well, they told him, Ignav lon kasa de kaspa, somebody stole the silver cup that we had over here on the table. As Rashi says, Shayuron oso karach besudri. They saw him wrapping up something in his kerchief, Virotzi and Livdokba, and they wanted to know what he was doing, because they knew it wouldn't be good for them. In any event, Bahade de Komaine, when they were searching for the silver cup that they claimed was stolen, and they found that he had had a piece of meat there wrapped up in the kerchief of that Rav Sheshes had. So Amri relates, so the servant said to the Reish Galusa, look, look, Chazimar de lo mechal, kaboy elu litzura. See, he didn't really eat. He didn't trust the kashrus over here. He told you that you don't trust our kashrus. No, he just doesn't want to eat by you. He's a bad guy. That's what they were saying about Chas v'shalom, about the great Rav Sheshes. So Amalu, Rav Sheshes says to them, Ano mechalachli, I ate. That's not true. However, v'tami be'tamod, the chivra, I tasted here something that was white. Now, what does it mean like that? So Rashi says, the chivra, white, basar balas shchin, some meat that had in it tzaras. I tasted it. I was so sensitive. Again, a blind person often has tremendously heightened senses. So he was able to taste from the meat. He said that the animal had tzaras. So Amalei, so the servants of the Reish Galusa said, that's not true. Chivra, an animal with spots on it, these white spots, lo ovid lo hayda, we didn't have one today. So there's no way that this animal could have been an animal with tzaras. So Sheshes tells him, Amalei, bidku biduchte, go and check out right in that very place. Rashi says, biduchte means ba'or, on the skin, hayubotkin b'mokum ristina zu, right exactly where this meat was from. And bekaf hayerech, it was in the upper part of the thigh of the animal. Vitzimzena ba'or shulav, and you'll see. Go check over there. That's where the animal has a lesion, and the animal, in fact, had tzaras, and that's why I didn't want to eat from it. The Amar Chissa, as Chissa said, uchma, if you have a black spot bechivra in a white animal, or bechivra or a white spot beuchmasa in a black animal, lekusi, these are simonim of tzaras. Nope, baduk, they checked it out, and that's shulav. He was 100% correct. Nope. They were not happy with Rav Sheshes. So they said, we're going to get him when he leaves. So Kikonofik, when Rav Sheshes leaves, so Karule Bira, he's blind, remember, Rishesh is blind, so they dug a pit and they covered it up. Shadule Tzivsa Ilave, they put some sort of a reed mat on top of it. And this would be very flimsy. As Rashi says, Ishlichu Machatzelis Alpia Bar, they put this flimsy mat on top of the bar, Kideshelo Yavin, he would think that he wouldn't recognize anything different. People looking at it wouldn't recognize something necessarily different. Certainly a blind person won't, and he would fall in and die. Maybe you want to lie down over here for a little bit of time before you go home. And they were going to walk him right over that area where there was the bar. Now, Rav Chisda was there at the time also. Mistama, he wasn't able to speak up for whatever the reason. And Rashi said, therefore, Asalo Simon Kimo Nachras Susov. So he snorted at somebody. He was far away, but he saw what was happening, and he wanted to warn Rav Sheshes. So Rav Sheshes understood this, and Amalei Yanuka, and therefore he said to a young child that was there, Psalk Li Psukech, go and tell me what pasuk you're learning. And he figured this would be a sort of a nevuah, sort of a Ruach HaKodesh. What the child is learning would hopefully give him advice as to what he should do further. So Amalei said, the little boy said to Rav Sheshes, Nite Lecha Ayimincha O Al Smocha. He gave him a pasuk with Shmuel Beis, which Rashi tells us was the story of Esau, that says, turn to your right or to your left. Either turn to the right or to your left. In other words, Rav Sheshes understood from this pasuk that there's something in front of him he has to walk around. And therefore, Amalei L'Shamis, he told the Shamis, my kachosis, what do you see in front of you? Amalei, so the Shamis said, Tzifisa Dishadja. I see there's a reed mat here on the ground. And Rav Sheshes understood something was fishy. Amalei, Hadar Mine, go and turn away from it. Lead me around it. Don't go right through the mat. Levasa Dinofak, after Rav Sheshes left the Reish Galusa, he goes and meets up with Rav Chisda, Amalei Rav Chisda, and he tells him, Nu, Mino Haviyod Damar. Rav Chisda asks him, how'd you know? I saw that you walked around it. How did you know? So Amalei, so Rav Sheshes tells him, number one, thank you for warning me. Chada, number one, Dinofak Halimar, because you gave me that snorting, and I realized something was amiss, and it made me question. And then I was able to go, oh, the Pasuk Liyanuka Psuka. So I was able to go ask the child the Pasuk, and it's not considered a problem of divining over here. I'm not relying upon this Pasuk, but since I had your warning, and then the pasuk told me to steer clear, so that taught me what to do. And furthermore, oh, in general, I have a high sense of suspicion with anything that the servants of this Reish Galusa did, because the Chashidi Adde, the Lomalo, these aren't very nice people. They are very, very bad people. They're not elevated high people. They're horrible scoundrels, and therefore, as a result, I was already on high alert, and with your snorting, and with the pasuk from the child, so therefore, I knew I better walk around, and was able to, Baruch Hashem, save myself from this terrible potential complication. Now, we'll stop the shiur over here, but I will tell you in great excitement that tomorrow's shiur is going to be a phenomenal shiur that deals with the story of the famous demon Ashmedai. Since we talked about Kordiakus now, so we're going to hear the famous story about Shlomo HaMelech and the king demon Ashmedai. So, Mitzvah, look forward to tomorrow's shiur. Have a great day.